Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God.
It's time for the Holy Manna radio broadcast with Brother Byron Chesney, pastor at Highland Baptist Church. For the next few minutes, Brother Byron will be bringing you some truths from God's holy word. So have your Bible ready and follow along with Brother Byron.
And so you can only imagine what's happening here. The Jordan River being full, being flooded, all this water coming and rushing. A river rushes. God's going to stop that river and it's going to build. It's going to make a wall of water, probably as far up as they could see, a heap. And it goes all the way back up into where we believe to be where the Garden of Eden started. And we're going to see that in our text. Look at verse 14. It came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they that bear the Ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priest that bear the Ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap, very far from the city of Adam. The city of Adam is referring to, most likely, the Garden of Eden, is what Adam's city would have been. And so it's where we believe the water is backed up all the way from the city of Adam, that is beside Zeraton, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Now, we see the miracle that took place. Not only has God caused the waters to stop, there's no water flowing into the Red Sea. It just said that. It dried it up, and those waters have stopped. Nothing's flowing into the Red Sea. And so all the and not only that, but the ground below it there is dry. They don't go and get mired down in the mud. You know, if you went out here and built a dam in the Tennessee River or the Clinch River, one of these rivers, the Holston, if you went and built a dam there, as soon as those waters stopped, you would have mud in front of you. And so this wasn't just some kind of event that happened. This was a miracle that God not only stopped the waters, but he completely dried it up. And by the way, the reason these waters have receded so far, we're talking about a million plus people crossing over here. You think they're all going to walk in a single line? No, they're going to go over there in a mass amount of people. And so there's a whole lot within this that we're not going to have time this morning to talk about concerning the typology. And the Jordan River, of course, is a representation of death. That's the way they saw it. This is a way of death. It is a barrier between where they're at and the promised land. And so there is a great gulf fixed between where they're at and the land of promise. My friend, there's a great gulf fixed between the sinful man and being able to reach the land of promise or being able to reach God. There's a great gulf fixed. And it represents death. That gulf represents death. The Jordan River represents death. You cannot enter into the promised land without crossing over. You cannot enter into heaven without crossing over to get there. Now, we cross over by the cross of Christ is the way we get there. The Ark of the Covenant, of course, represents the presence of God. I mean, that goes without saying. Joshua, again, is a type of Christ, an interceder. He makes intercession for the children of Israel. The priests also are a type of Christ as they intercede to be able to make these waters stop. The Bible says when they dip their toes there into the water, that's when it happened. They didn't get down in the middle of the water before it receded. All they did was put their foot down, and when they did that, the water stopped. The going down into the Jordan represents death, being buried with Christ, and then when they brought up out of the Jordan, coming up out of the Jordan, even the stones coming up out of that represents new life in Christ, the type of being raised up with Christ. Now, there's a whole lot more in there that I'm going to go into, but it's a wonderful study, and we'll do that sometime. So all of that was introduction. Now we get into the message. Look at Joshua chapter 4 again, verse 1. And it came to pass when all the people were cleaned, passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying. All right, so everybody crosses over safely to the other side into the land of promise. We see this plan that's being laid out by God exactly of what he wants to happen when this is done. And he wants this event to be a memorial. That's what it says in our text. It shall be a memorial. It will be a sign among them. Tomorrow, here in the United States of America, we observe Memorial Day. It's a day set aside for us to remember those that gave their life by serving in our U.S. military. That's what Memorial Day is. Memorial Day started in 1868, right after the Civil War. It used to be called Decoration Day, where they would come out and decorate the grave sites of those soldiers that fought in the war. They would put flowers and they would put little mementos, things that they remembered them by, and they would put those on the graves. And people did that for 100 years, calling it Decoration Day. It wasn't until 1967 that it became a federal holiday here in the United States and was called Memorial Day. We're the only country that recognizes this day. And it's because of all these great men and women that gave their lives to fight for our freedoms. What is that saying? Some gave all gave some. There's only been one that gave everything for all the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. I made a comment this morning, I posted on social media this morning, that Memorial Day is not about a hot dog. It's not about a jet ski. It's not about going to the mountains. It's not about any of these things. It's all about a sacrifice. A sacrifice that someone made for you. An unselfish sacrifice. There is one who made the greatest sacrifice, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for all. He died for all. In our opening text, we find the Lord is preparing a memorial for the children of Israel. The 12 stones, as the Bible gives us the information, represents the 12 tribes of Israel. He told Joshua to bring out a man from every tribe. He wants every one of them represented. He don't want anybody to not be represented. Every one of those will be represented in these 12 stones. He says, these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Not for just a little time period or for a trial period, but forever. A memorial is, the definition of it is to preserve the memory of. That's what a memorial means. It's to preserve the memory. The Lord wanted them to always remember what He'd done for them on that great day. And not only just the crossing of the Jordan, but what all that represented. This is the symbol of what all God has done for the children of Israel. When you look at those stones, it's going to be a reminder. It'll be a constant, forever reminder of what I have done for you. And so, it's preserving the memory of what God's done. Each time they passed by those stones stacked up, they would remember that great day. And as time passed on, when those people that were there, when that event happened, those people pass on, more people will be in place. They'll see those stones. And they'll say, what do those stones mean? Why are those stones stacked up right there? And somebody will say, let me tell you what my daddy told me. My daddy used to tell me a story about when he crossed over from over around Jericho and the waters of the Jordan were all flooded and they needed to get over here because God promised them this land. And so God allowed the waters to stop and He dried it up and they all passed over. That's what those stones represent, what God did. And so they would keep passing on from generation to generation as the children would hear the stories. They'd pass it on to their children and then their children. And it would always be a memorial for what these stones mean. Mom, Dad, what does that mean? How come every time we walk by there, you guys look at that? Maybe they would stop by and they would bow down. Maybe they would stop and pray where that memorial is. Maybe they would stand there and observe it and look at it and remember it. I know there's often times I'll go to the cemetery. I don't tell anybody about it. I don't make any big deals about it. I just go to the cemetery sometimes. I'll go to the one over here at Union, and I'll go to the one on down there at the Presbyterian Cemetery. I've got family members buried there in Greenwood. And I'll stop at those family members that's passed on, those that I love. Even if they're stones, I know they're not there. I know that they're no longer there, that they're gone to be with the Lord. But I can remember when I stand in front of those stones and read their names and see the dates they were born and the dates they died. And I think about all the things that I remember about them. And I can stand over here in Union Cemetery and I can look at the tombstone of my dear Aunt Parley Hall and Adriel Hall. And I'll think about those things and how Adriel led me to the Lord. I can go over to Greenwood and stand in the front of the tombstones of my grandfather and grandmother, Preacher Ed Spencer and Connolly Spencer, and I can think about all the great history that my family has. And I can go over and see my Uncle John's grave over there. I can go over and see my wife's mother, Tucker's grave over there. I can go and see all these different people. I remember Mr. Ed Buckner over there. I can all these people from church that I've stood over their grave sites and preached the graveside service. I can go over and remember them. I can go down here to the Presbyterian Cemetery where my sister is lying, or where her body was placed. She's no longer there, but her tombstone's there. I can go and stand in my father's, in front of his tombstone, and remember all the things that my father did for me. And so all these are a memorial to what has happened in the past. And I think those are good things. I don't think we need to get mired down in the past and that's all we can do, and we can't get out of the past. But I certainly believe that we need to use these things as a memorial for what has happened in our past. And I think we ought to cherish those memories. And I think that's what Memorial Day represents, is cherishing the memories of those in the past and what they've done. Here we find that these children of Israel have this memorial that God has instituted. This wasn't government instituted. The government didn't come saying, you know, the children of Israel are going to have a memorial over here. It's going to represent what God's done. No, God set up this memorial. And I love those memorials. I love remembering the things of the past. If there's anybody here that loves traditions and loves memories, it's this man standing here. The traditions of my parents, my grandparents, those that went on before, those memorials, they keep the memories of those generations alive. That is why I've always strived here at this church to keep this church as a memorial of what it was built for, of why those people back in 1942 stood in the front yard and they dedicated this property to the usage of a church on Babley Road. And I've always strived to make it a memorial to those things that God has done, to keep the memory of it, not to be an entertainment system or a museum, but a house of worship, a place where people can come and hear about God, a place where children can come and learn about Jesus, a place where people can come and hear the preached Word of God, and where the emphasis is upon the Word of God and not upon entertainment. I've always strived to do that, a place where people know that we love the gospel message, a place where standards are upheld, where we don't bow down to the world and compromise the things of God. You know, churches like ours are disappearing. We're like an old snapshot out of a past. Somebody said that when I walk in your church, it's like I walked in it back in the 60s. Not much changed. Nope, there's not a lot changed. That's for a reason. This church is a memorial for what God has done in this neighborhood, what God is still doing, what God will continue to do, will stand as a memorial right here on Babley Road. You know, the morals and values of the people in this country have changed drastically. Over the last 20 years, definitely changed, and let alone the last 42 years. People are no longer searching for churches where they place the emphasis on the Word of God, where they love the Lord Jesus Christ and want to exalt Him. They want to be exalted themselves. And so people look for entertainment centers, places where they can go to have their flesh filled and fed. Instead of looking for the old-time way or the traditional way of worship, they're looking for a newfangled way, a different way, a way that was not like their mother or their father or their grandparents was. We're stuck in granddaddy's religion, they claim. Listen, I still believe in the old-time way. I still believe that church ought to be the way church used to be. Sometimes in any of our literature and things, even on that kiosk up the front, when a screensaver runs across it, you'll find a picture that I've made of the church. And up above it, I have a church the way it used to be. And I fully believe that. I believe we ought to stand true in those traditions and the memorials that God has placed here.
We pray that this has been a blessing to you. If you feel led to help us with the cost of the broadcast, our address is Highland Baptist Church, 6014 Babley Road, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37924. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.